Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Welcome to Egg Bowl Week. And you know, traditionally around here during Egg Bowl Week, we do more shows. And you know what? That's the plan again this week. So this is going to serve as your Sunday night Boneyard. And if things go as I expect, we'll have one Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And if we win, we'll have one on Friday. How about that? If we lose, maybe we'll do it Saturday. I don't know. Well, this depends on how much I want to watch college football on Saturday. If we lose, I may not feel like talking. But it's going to be a busy week. Now, I'm not going to give you 90 minutes every show. We'll probably go an hour, 10 or so. But nevertheless, I thought we'd give you that programming note. I know many of you longtime listeners have thought, hey, I wonder if Steve's going to give us like some bonus shows this week. Well, yeah. Yeah, we are. We are going to do that. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love Bulldog Burger Company. We love them. We do. We're very thankful for them, especially this week of all weeks. Very thankful for the fine folks at Bulldog Burger Company. And looking forward to taking one of their prized employees with me back home to South Mississippi for Thanksgiving with Mom. How about that? Yeah, yeah. So excited about that. You need to get in a Bulldog Burger Company this week before you get in a Turkey Day, okay? And maybe this is a good week to prepare yourself for the feast. Maybe the BLT salad is the way to go, maybe a couple times this week, right? Maybe start watching your calories a little bit so when Thursday gets here, you can splurge a little bit. You owe it to yourself to enjoy the holidays. You got to eat responsibly. But on Thanksgiving, all of it gets kind of goes out the window, right? I mean, let's just be honest about that. So just like a great runner that begins like the taper before a marathon, maybe the BLT salad is the way to go. Now, some of you would be like, you know, Steve, I don't care. I'm just going to eat like I normally do, and I'm going to enjoy Thanksgiving. You know what? That's great, too. You can find a Bulldog burger that will fit your fancy. Whether it's the Bulldog itself, the Freshman 15, the Bryant, the Lauren, you're going to find something that'll satisfy that craving you have for a great restaurant-quality hamburger. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harper Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. It's true. It's true. Trust the science, as they say. It's true. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, before we get in our Egg Bowl coverage, and I tried to decide like how much I'm gonna ride a bunch this week because I want to give my guys some time off on Thursday. So I'll do some extra riding to kind of lighten the workload. We don't take a lot of time off. I can't speak for everybody else, you know. But we don't take a lot of time off. You know, we do over 10 stories a day. Did 10 today, did 10 yesterday. I don't know where you're spending your money for your Mississippi State news, but nobody's producing more of it than us, including a big football commitment. We'll talk about that a little bit later. We had a football commitment today, used our graphic. We're very grateful for that. But also, too, we had a story, some advanced quotes, had that lined up for you guys. So you got to read the reasoning behind Kaisan Shepherd's decision to recommit to Mississippi State after his time in junior college. Now, I think he'll have to redshirt next year. But nevertheless, you got to read about him first at jeanspage.com. Let's take a look back at the weekend that was in the SEC. Because there's some things about this we want to talk about, right? I think every one of you feels the same way I do. Steve, I'm very intrigued right now about what's going on in the Southeastern Conference, not just on the side, not just in the game side. There's some things happening off the field. Well, let's just go ahead and start here because, well, you know, we do our little asides. You know how you and I are. So Samford did not make a game of it. It's 21-0 after the first quarter, 31 at the break, and then the Aggies just kind of took their foot off the gas, and they went 48-0. Samford 1-11 this year. 1-11. Of course, they've already made a coaching change. Probably just go hire a coordinator or somebody like that. But yeah, A&M now in great position to be in the SEC championship game. Big game next week, though. Huge game next week. More on that later. Now, we hoped Georgia would cover. They did not. Kirby kind of took his foot off the gas late there. But Georgia wins 35-3. They're up 28-3 at the break. And then, you know, Charlotte, we really wanted Charlotte to cover. I mean, not just because of the fact that they didn't have a little something to feel good about themselves. But, yeah, I mean, the game went pretty much as we expected, except for the fact Georgia just decided not to score late. 35-3, Georgia just kind of cruising along now. 10-1, 6-1 in the SEC. And, you know, feeling good about life. I don't think that 6-1 is right. Can't be. Because the only game they've got left is Georgia Tech. That can't be right. I don't think ESPN's updated their stuff here. We'll look at standings momentarily. Oklahoma. And Oklahoma played defense against Missouri like we hoped Mississippi State would. We didn't maybe expect them to do it at the same level of execution, but they really attacked Missouri. They didn't just kind of sit back and fit gaps. Like there was a run blitz almost every play when it was a 50-50 down or an obvious running down. It was run blitz, run blitz, run blitz. They held Missouri to a couple of early field goals, and then they kind of get going. Satania, former Arkansas speedster, has that huge, I mean, just basically like a little slant, and then he outruns everybody to the end zone. A world-class athlete there. But it's 14-6 at the break, and Oklahoma adds a field goal in the third, and then from there, they just kind of coasted along. Bo Pribula did play in the ball game, which I'll be honest with you, I just am surprised by this, but he wasn't 100%. It shows that he's a gamer, wanted to go out there and try to help his guys. Missouri now 7-4 on the year. They will wrap up the year against Arkansas. And, of course, Oklahoma got OSU coming in. Alabama, no trouble at all with Eastern Illinois. No surprise there. 56-0. Ty Simpson, not a great game, even though he played a limited role here. 11 of 16 for 147 yards and two picks. Man, you dare to think what it could have been. Right, but Alabama now 9-2, and I guess that Georgia 6-1 was at home. Yeah, that's what. So Kentucky, we thought Kentucky maybe had turned the corner a little bit. You know, I didn't think Kentucky would like win this game, but I thought they would at least keep it close, especially since they still have bowl eligibility on the line. Vanderbilt destroys Kentucky. Destroys them. 45-17. Guys, Diego, 184 yards and five touchdowns. That'll play. That's one of the biggest games ever. It's crazy. And, man, it was just nuts. It was deep throw after deep throw. Kentucky couldn't get home. They couldn't get any pressure. It's 24-3 at the break, and then Kentucky scores 14 kind of garbage points late. The game, it was 45-3, and everybody of note had their shoulder pads off, drinking a Gatorade, thinking about next week, traveling to Tennessee. Texas and Arkansas, it was a game for a quarter, 14-6. And then Arkansas actually pulls ahead here, and it's, maybe they didn't. No, I don't think they ever, maybe, yeah, they did have the lead, kind of swapped the lead for a little while, but Texas makes it 24-20 at the break, and then in the third quarter, it's all Longhorns, 21-3. Arkansas scores a couple touchdowns late when the game was over. You know, Texas had that big scoop and score. I mean, it was just the Arkansas Bobby Petrino experience has not been what a lot of people hoped it would be. You know, that's just what it is. He still hadn't won a game. You're like, hey, they're scoring points, but you're not winning games. And that defense is so dreadful. That Arkansas defense is terrible. All right, Tennessee all over Florida. It's 31-0 at the break, and Heupel pulls, you know, the foot off the gas, shows a little mercy, and Florida adds 11 second-half points to make it a 31-11 game. It wasn't. it wasn't a great game. And you know those kids at Florida are just ready to pack it in. I mean, you know, they're so ready to be done with all this. You know, what a traumatic season. Like, you come in, everybody's doubting you, and you're fighting to get bowl eligible. Your coach gets fired, and then you've been competitive in a couple of games. You know, you probably feel like you should have beat Ole Miss, but it really hasn't been much to cry about since then. I mean, Kentucky blew them out. Tennessee blows them out. Florida will take on Florida State, who is now elected to keep Mike Norvell for another year. Not many Seminole fans are happy about that, but when you begin to think about the climate in which people are having to hire coaches right now, it may be good for Florida State to sit this one out. Next year, they could be the biggest job coming available. Could be. I thought Mercer would make this a game for a while. They did, for a quarter. 14-14 against Auburn, and then Auburn makes some adjustments in the second quarter and gets separation. It's 35-17 at the break, and then it's all Tigers in the second half. 27 unanswered in the second half to win 62-17. Deuce Knight, 15 of 20 for 239 yards and two touchdowns. Also had a big day on the ground running the football. So Auburn, 5-6, with a chance to get bowl eligible in the Iron Bowl. More on that later, too. Coastal Carolina, disappointed in these guys. I really thought Coastal would come out and at least cover. I didn't know that they could win, but I thought they could cover. South Carolina absolutely annihilates them, mainly on the ground. But it's 37-0 at the break, 44-0 after three. They trade touchdowns in the fourth for a final of 51-7. And, of course, South Carolina can't get bowl eligible.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
But they get Clemson coming in here next week. Probably a must-win game for Shane Beamer. Probably a much closer game than most anticipated. With LSU's inability to score and Western Kentucky playing as well as they played offensively, I thought they had a chance here to keep this thing really, really close. Well, they did. They had to get a defensive touchdown late. But it's 3-0 Western Kentucky early, and, man, they are chirping in Baton Rouge, even with an interim coach. Western Kentucky has a wide-open play to make it 10-0. They run a little, pass back to the quarterback, and he just drops it. Like, he's so wide open, he drops it. Would have been 10-0, and how significant would that have been considering LSU's offensive woes? The Tigers are up 10-3 in the fourth. Got turned away once, and, of course, that defense continues to create turnovers, kind of kept them in the game. They finally get another field goal to make it a two-score game. And it's 13-3, and everybody's chanting, "We want Kiffin, we want Kiffin." And then, lo and behold, a fumble is scooped up and returned for a touchdown with about a minute to go for Western to make it 13-10. The onside kick is covered by LSU, and they get into victory formation. Michael Van Buren did not have a good game. 25 of 42, 202 yards, one touchdown. And I don't remember how many times he got sacked, but, man, it felt like that this guy had no feel for the game of football. And I think a lot of it, too, I think offensively they're asking him to be a lot more quarterback-centric. There's probably a lot more decision-making process in that offense. You know, we have some of that stuff, too. But it's a different brand of offense. It'll be interesting to see what they do going forward. So LSU wins 13-10. They don't cover. We did pick Western Kentucky to cover. I think in the end we end up going 7-3. I think that's right. Charlotte was one that let us down. And Kentucky. But and Coastal. That's our three misses there. But let's take a quick look ahead at the next weekend, Rivalry Week. It's already underway. You know, for us, we're already in rivalry week because the game's on Friday. Of course, Egg Bowl, talk about it all week. The line opened up at like 10.5. It's now 7.5. And you know as well as I do, a lot of that is a byproduct of all the Lane Kiffin circus. It's pretty crazy. And we are expecting a near sellout crowd. So if you're planning to come, get your tickets now. Get your tickets now. There's talk out there that the Ole Miss administration bought up some of our tickets, so they would have plenty of fans there wearing their powder blue tutus on the eastern side. So, again, they're thinking, hey, we're going to clinch a playoff spot at Mississippi State. We want a bunch of our fans to be there. Hey, we'll take the money, but we'd rather have had Bulldogs there. And that brings us to another conversation. Guys, we got to get you back on a season ticket train. We do, especially on that east side. We've got to get more season ticket holders. Outside of a couple of sections, we should own the lower bowl in our own stadium. And so I'm going to ask you right now, from the bottom of my heart, consider buying season tickets next year. Consider it. You need to be a shareholder within the program. You need to have some skin in the game. You need to be there when the magic happens. I know it's easier and less expensive to stay home, eat your own pizza or your own barbecue wings or whatever, but we need you here. And that's the thing. We think about what kind of program do we want. We want a program that everybody's bought into. I know people say, Steve, you know, yeah, we're better this year, but we're not. Steve, it's a team that's probably going to go to Liberty Bowl. And you know what? I'm going to be proud to go if we get that opportunity. But we can't have people just buying up our tickets on the east side. Those tickets shouldn't be for sale. They should already be in your hands, if that makes sense. That's how I feel about it. Georgia Tech. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting game. They're going to play the game in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. A lot of Georgia fans will be there. Bulldogs favored by 13.5. This Georgia Tech team had some trouble last night with Pitt. You know, Haynes King was not good. He'd only thrown two interceptions on the year. Threw two last night, doubled his total. And that played into the difference. Wild game last year between Georgia. Coach Key doing a good job out there in Atlanta. Again, 9-2. It's going to be interesting to see how the ACC plays out. It's going to be interesting to see how this game plays out. All right, Texas A&M, 11-0, has to go to Texas. Now, Texas has been rather resurgent here as of late. I think a lot of it's started in that fourth quarter in Starkville. It began to change for them, you know, since they had the comeback against us that shouldn't have been. You know, they come back and win that game. They beat Vanderbilt. They lose at Georgia, right? And then, but then they blast Arkansas 52-7. And now, granted, it's Arkansas. But I thought Arch Manning looked really good. I thought he looked very confident. I thought he let the deep ball go with a lot of gusto. You know, lay it out there, let your guy make a play. And there were a couple balls that were underthrown, but, man, they had a bunch of drops early in that ball game. Could have been a lot better. You wonder what the Texas A&M front will do to Arch, what those coverages will do to kind of confuse him and maybe hold the ball a second or two longer. It's going to be interesting. I don't know that Texas is going to be able to run the football against A&M. But the game's in Austin. Primetime, under the lights. Darryl K. Royal, you know, the Texas fans, we talk about the big brother, little brother games. This is one of them. You just hope that Elko and those guys are not bought into any of that nonsense. Kentucky and Louisville, rivalry game. Kentucky will need to win to get bowl eligible. And just so you know, guys, too, A&M is the road favorite in Austin, 2.5. Louisville favored by 3.5 against Kentucky. I just can't figure this Kentucky team out. Yeah, just when I leave them, you know, buried for dead, they resurrect themselves and just absolutely wax Florida. And again, you go back early on, they had found some success at quarterback early on. It's probably people, they almost beat Ole Miss. People forget that. But looking at this Louisville team, yeah, I don't know what to expect. I really don't. So we'll talk about that later in the week. Clemson and South Carolina. Man, you talk about two teams with disappointing seasons. Clemson's 6-5. So they're going to make a bowl game somewhere. And then there's South Carolina 4-7. Like, these are the kind of games that Beamer wins. Right? And they've done a good job in the rivalry against Clemson since he's been there. Gamecocks favored by 2.5. This game's going to happen on Saturday. And we talk about how good Friday's going to be. Man, ABC is a stacked lineup for Black Friday. You know, the Egg Bowl, the Georgia-Georgia Tech game, and then A&M in Texas. I mean, Friday is going to be a fun day to watch college football. And then Saturday, you know, we're going to be off on Saturday. So, you know, we'll have an opportunity to enjoy that too. You get all these other games are Saturdays. LSU and Oklahoma, that's the 2:30. And when they contracted this game, I'm sure they thought, this is going to be great. LSU going to Norman. Man, if you see how bad this LSU offense is and how great this Oklahoma defense is, Oklahoma's favored by 10.5. I don't think it's enough. Pretty crazy. Vanderbilt and Tennessee. Now, if I told you at the beginning of the year that Vanderbilt's going to go to Knoxville and have the better record in the final game of the year, you probably wouldn't have believed it. But they do. They're 9-2. Tennessee 8-3. Tennessee, you know, kind of laid back in the way back in the playoff rankings. But you start thinking about Vanderbilt and what they could do if they beat Tennessee. And you start breaking down the FBS rankings a little bit, you begin to wonder if Ole Miss loses to Mississippi State and Lane Kiffin leaves, I really believe they're getting left out of playoff. I truly do. It's not to say their record's not worthy of it, but with a dramatic change like that, you know, what's Ole Miss's chances of winning a playoff game? So I think certainly if they do make it, they're not going to host. And you really have to stay in the top 10 because, you know, you're still going to have like the ACC champion and you're going to have a G5 team. And so it's not as simple as just staying in the top 12. You got to stay in the top 10. Vanderbilt right there just begging to say, pick me. If they beat Tennessee and Ole Miss loses to Mississippi State, I think it's very easy to make that flip. Because you can say Vanderbilt, while they may not have the huge marquee win, they've gone 10-2, best season in school history. And they've got a coach that's there. They got a lot of juice. They'll sell out tickets. Missouri and Arkansas, that's your 2:30 game. And, man, can you imagine, like SEC Network's doing this one. Missouri, the road favorite at 2.5. As bad as that Arkansas run defense has been much of the year, they kind of changed a few things up, but people have kind of figured them out now. That's what it takes, a couple of games on tape, and people kind of know how to attack you. That Missouri running game just couldn't get going against Oklahoma. They will get going against Arkansas. So Missouri favored by 2.5 in the hog pen. And can Bobby Petrino finish this thing over? It would almost be almost poetic justice, to be quite honest with you. After all the things that happened with Petrino before, he comes back, and it goes to show you how desperate they were to win, to let him come back as the OC, and then they give him a chance to be the interim, and he really wanted the job, and to go 0-4 the rest of the year. I guess it'd be 0-8. I think that's a real possibility, Bobby. Florida State at Florida. Florida favored by 2.5 at home. Despite the fact Florida State's won a couple more games. Of course, bowl eligibility on the line for the Seminoles. And maybe that's all you need to fire up Florida. Saw last night against Tennessee, you just wonder how much fuel is left in the tank. Perhaps Florida State will be rejuvenated because the news of Norvell is out there. They know that he's going to be back next year. Florida has no idea what's going to happen. And what's interesting is you know, John Sumrall from Tulane, formerly of Troy, who was also a candidate for the Mississippi State job when we hired Jeff Levy, is going to the conference championship game. Win at Troy, now going in Tulane. Guy's a winner. And so his name is in, you know, in connection with multiple jobs. The Florida job, the Ole Miss job pending, and the Auburn job. Got a little nugget earlier today that somebody told me he would prefer to bring his full staff with him. I'm not sure that's a sticking point with him, but I'm told that would be his preference, to bring the guys, his staff, with him. And there are some teams out there. You know, Auburn apparently wants to keep Durkin, who's done a good job this year. And so you got to wonder, you know, how much has John Cohen and those guys dug into that? You know, how much is John Cohen and those guys really like thinking, hey, we're gonna hire John Summerall. He's our guy. Maybe he's not. But nevertheless, you got an Iron Bowl to play. And based on what you saw from Auburn on Saturday, if you're Alabama, aren't you a little bit scared about that? Having to go into Jordan-Hare Stadium where weird things always seem to happen. Auburn Jesus always seems to show up in these games. Alabama's favored by 1.5. But Auburn all of a sudden's got a little juice. Auburn defensively, I can play with Alabama's offense. And now maybe with Deuce Knight, does he start the Iron Bowl? I don't know. It's a lot of pressure for a young man. Bowl eligibility, still a possibility for Auburn. And, you know, we always talk about like the Buffalo Wild Wings commercial that they have a Buffalo Wild Wings button in Birmingham when something's not going right. You wonder if they don't. Hey, let's buzz down to Jordan-Hare. We can't let Alabama miss a playoff. And hit the button. So, interesting stuff for sure. Now, real quickly, if we can find it. I don't know why things are always so difficult to find. I don't know. You would think that they would have those very readily available, like on ESPN. You would think that. You would think it, but you'd be wrong. All right, the college football playoff rankings, official rankings, not Bob from Bogachita's rankings, none of that stuff. Okay, so this is week 12. Oh, then there'll be another update, right? Don't expect much change, but Ohio State is 1, Indiana 2, A&M 3. And again, I give A&M a lot of credit. You know, they went on the road and beat Notre Dame, who's expected to be a lock to make it. You know, Indiana and Ohio State. You know, Ohio State obviously it took care of Texas earlier this year, so the intent to schedule was great. And then there's Georgia at 4. I guess this hadn't been updated since last week. Texas Tech was 5. Ole Miss was 6. And there's Oregon at 7. Oklahoma at 8, Notre Dame at 9, Alabama 10. BYU wins too. Utah also wins. Miami wins. Vanderbilt wins. South Carolina loses. You know, Georgia Tech loses. Texas wins. And so when you start thinking about, okay, Ole Miss is at 6, and how far would they drop with a loss? Through a possibility. Because you say, hey, well, Ole Miss beat Oklahoma head-to-head. Well, Brent Venable's still there. Right? So you got two teams with an even record, but one of them's coach is gone. Something to consider. You know, Oregon, obviously, should be in good shape. You know, Notre Dame, I think, is in. But if Alabama beats Auburn, you got to think they're in too. And so there's some decisions that have to be made, you know, from 6 to 14 here. But there's some teams just kind of hovering around that I think could give the playoff committee enough justification. They would say, you know what, hey, this team won, that beat this team who was also in contention, like Vandy beats Tennessee. You're like, hey, that's an easy switch. So a lot of pressure on Ole Miss this week as we get ready for the Egg Bowl. And again, we're going to talk about the Egg Bowl a lot this week. And when we come back, we'll do our top 10 list. And then we'll kind of get into what Jeff Levy had to say today. And one thing I will tell you, I thought Mississippi State made some good decisions with media opportunity today. Really good decisions. You had 3 veteran guys that are not going to get like trapped in a question. Yeah, not that we have, you know, antagonistic media here. We don't. It's not like some other places where they're always trying to get a kid in the gotcha moment. But you had Brennan Thompson, Albert Reese, and Nick Mitchell come. and speak. And those guys are the leaders. They're going to say things the right way. They're not going to give you any bulletin board material, nothing like that. And so I thought State made some good decisions. There was nothing inflammatory. Other than like Brennan Thompson saying, all I know is that we hate them, right? Well, I mean, they're going to say the same thing. I think Ole Miss having their media availability on Monday. We'll be covering that as well. But good decisions by Brandon Langlois from Mississippi State. And maybe it was Jeff Labby had a say in it too. But to get some guys that are veteran guys that are seniors and be going through senior day, to have them go out there and speak and address the media in reference to the Egg Bowl. And so, again, you get through this thing, and there's nothing to really sink your teeth into. There's nothing to motivate the other team. I think that's very, very important this time of year. All right, time for your close with Blair, Player of the Day. Yeah, we know Blair well. If you don't, you should. And at some point, you may need to know him better. You may need to be on a first-name basis with Blair. So let me give you his phone number, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Now, save that in your phone as Mortgage Guy. You may forget the name, but you will know it when you need it, right? Just put Mortgage Guy. Because at some point, life's going to throw you a curveball, or maybe you get ready to plant some roots somewhere. He's licensed to practice in multiple states. It's not just a Mississippi thing. And maybe you're looking for that game day condo. It could be more affordable than you think. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is the name to know. Be sure and hit him up today. Visit his website, closewithblair.com. Okay, we're going to go with our player of the day is Isaac Smith. Now, Isaac Smith, of course, didn't play against Missouri. We missed him. Could be his last game in maroon and white. Now, he shared with me he'll either be back at Mississippi State next year or he'll be in the pros, one of the two. Not going to be any portal things for Isaac. He loves it here. He has become an institution here. But we need a healthy Isaac Smith, I think, to win this game. I do expect him to play. I think when the availability report comes out on Tuesday for us, he'll be listed as probable. But I do expect him to play. And we need him to play at a high level. That's why he is your Close with Blair Player of the Day. All right, time for today's Top 10 List is always brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. I saw a video over the weekend. And Billy Sheehan and Steve Vai, who were in the David Lee Roth band to start, they were on the Eat 'Em and Smile album. And I think Billy did Skyscraper too, I think. I know Steve did. But Steve Vai was playing my guitar. Not my personal one, but the same model. The one that I got from Kalido Guitars. You need to find your own favorite guitarist and buy their signature model from Kalido Guitars. Whether you're looking for an electric guitar, an acoustic, or a classical guitar, you can find it there. They're guitar people, too. They'll set it up in a professional way and get it out to you. It's not like they just go out there and slap a shipping label on a box and then put it on a truck and hope it works out. They get you set up, and you'll be glad that you bought a guitar from them, because their service before, during, and after the sale is unmatched. They specialize in guitars, but they carry other stringed instruments too. So if you need a gig bag, you need a case, strings, any accessories, this is your guitar shop. You can visit them in Lake Jackson, Texas next time you're in the greater Houston area and bring a guitar home with you. Yeah, it's true. But I'm going to give you a promo code that you can use in person, online, or over the phone. It's BSR. You know it well. Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you a 10% discount off the already low price. That gets you free shipping. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. You simply cannot go wrong. It is a win-win-win for everybody involved. They win, you win, and Mississippi State wins. And when Mississippi State wins, we all win again, right? So you just can't go wrong by doing right. So visit the fine folks at Kalido Guitars for all your guitar needs. Again, that's C-A-L-I-D-O, guitars.com. Okay. We're going to have a theme this week. We have a theme this week on the top 10. It hit me today because I'm petty. And, one of the most accomplished musicians to ever come from the great city of Baton Rouge is Randy Jackson. You know him well from American Idol. You know, it's going to be a no for me, dog. We're hoping it's a yes for you, dog. But anyway, I mean, just for no reason at all, I just wanted to talk a lot about Baton Rouge this week. I just feel the need to talk about it. So we're going to do a top 10 Randy Jackson list. Now, you got a couple of covers kind of mixed in here, and there's going to be some surprises for you, too. But Randy, of course, was a studio musician for years, spent some time with Journey, appeared on a couple of albums, appeared on three albums. He was the primary bass player on two of them when Ross Valerie was out of the band. And then on the Freedom album, he did a track with them too. So a lot of Journey involved in this list. And we're going to start with that track from the Freedom album with Arnel Pineda as the singer. It's a track called After the Fall. And I think it's one that you're going to enjoy. But it's the long contribution from Randy to that album. Randy, of course, has played on tons of Top 40 and R&B and soul albums and things like that. So, I mean, he's a very accomplished musician, even well before he became a host on American Idol. Number nine, the Christian metal band Striper. You know, you aren't sure what to make of them. But they did another album called Against Law. Didn't wear the black and gold stuff, and a lot of Christian music fans were disappointed. Well, they're calling this out Against the Law, they're going secular. Really wasn't the case. That song, Lady, is amazing, though. If you like a great power ballad, I love that song. I remember, and she's gone now, God rest her soul, I dated a homecoming queen from Bassfield for a while, and I remember leaving Bassfield, Mississippi, and driving home to Columbia listening to that song because I wanted her to be my girlfriend so bad. But on that album, they also covered Earth, Wind, and Fire's Shining Star, and Randy Jackson played bass on that in place of Tim Gaines. I don't know why they used Randy, maybe just because of the fact that he was more familiar with the genre, but Tim didn't play on that song, played on the rest, but didn't play on that one. So Randy Jackson, the bass player on Striper's version of Shining Star. Number eight, kind of sticking with some R&B here, he did a lot of work with Aretha Franklin. On the Keith Richards cover with Aretha of Jumpin' Jack Flash, Randy played bass on that. But some more work with Aretha, too. He played bass on the great Aretha Franklin song, Freeway of Love. Awesome. Raised on Radio is a great Journey album. A great one. Maybe the last great one from Journey. There's some good ones. That may be the last great one. And there's a great track off that album called Be Good to Yourself. You know it well. From the same album, number six on your list, it's I'll Be All Right Without You. And if you listen to the vocals, especially if you listen to the live album, you can really hear Randy on the chorus singing there. But I'll Be All Right Without You, number six. Now, the number five album, Randy played on a couple of Richard Marx albums, but he played on the Repeat Offender album, which I think may be the stronger of the Richard Marx albums. But on the great track, Satisfied, that's Randy Jackson providing the bass line. Number four, maybe a surprise to you, maybe. Randy Jackson played bass on one of the most recognizable songs of all time in American music history. It's the Pet Shop. No, it's not the Pet Shop Boys. It's Whitney Houston's I Want to Dance with Somebody. Did you think about that for a second? Think about the royalties from that track. He did a lot of work with Whitney Houston. Obviously, that was one of the biggest ones. All right, number three. You may recall, for those of you that are Bon Jovi fans, that Alec John Such, of course, was eventually kicked out of the band, and they had to use some studio musicians. They eventually settled with Phil. But the great track, Always, from Bon Jovi, Randy Jackson plays bass on that. Did you know that? I bet you didn't. Yeah, Randy, the great track, Always. Number two, back to Raised on Radio from Journey. It's Girl Can't Help It, which I think is the best song on that album. You know, she hadn't found what she's looking for. You know, great song. Number one, it's another surprise probably. And I love the entire album. It's the motion picture soundtrack to Young Guns 2. John Bon Jovi did it. Now, if you remember, for those of you that were around back then, the producers and Emilio Estevez wanted to use Wanted, Dead or Alive in Young Guns 2. And John said, well, how about I just like write you guys a song? Let me watch the movie and I'll write you a song. And that ended up him basically doing the entire soundtrack. And it kind of showed John was capable of doing it without Richie. But Blaze of Glory, the song you know, but again, Randy plays on just about all these tracks and of course, Jeff Beck. But it's Blaze of Glory, Young Guns 3 being filmed right now out there in New Mexico. I know the way out there. Maybe I should go be an extra. It'd be fun. And so when John Bon Jovi, he had one minor request, Guns 2 soundtrack, is he told him he wanted to be in the movie. And John makes a cameo appearance when Doc Scurlock is like down in the pig slop when they're all rounding up the regulators. And they have the riot. And John Bon Jovi gets killed. But anyway, so John does make an appearance. His face is very recognizable. And it was supposedly a lynch mob coming to get Scurlock. And then when him and Chavez are down there, and they open it up and they actually rescue him. And then as they're leaving town, the real lynch mob shows up. But I can't wait for Young Guns 3 to come out. And Christian Slater is in it. And of course, Lou Diamond Phillips. And supposedly, Kiefer Sutherland is going to make a cameo appearance. They haven't said if he's going to be a full member of the cast. I don't think so. But Arkansas Dave Rudabaugh will be back. Of course, Chavez and Billy the Kid himself. So we look forward to that. But if you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Sumanti on X at Dogmatic67, DawgMatic67. And you can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. If you are a Spotify listener, we can make your life in listening a lot easier. Just go follow Roy on Spotify, and our great list will just auto-populate for you. You know how it works. Next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart. We have for a long time. Why do we love them? Because they have what we want. Simple as that. They have what we want. What do we want? More Mississippi State merchandise. Now, Mom, you got about a month for Christmas. It's true, you procrastinated long enough. But let me help you out with that. Just go visit campusbookmart.net. You'll be glad you did. And use promo code BSR. Simple as that. Get free shipping on all orders over $75. And we appreciate your patronage of this fine institution. If you need a diploma frame, and the chances are you do, you may have an upcoming Mississippi State graduate in your life, be thinking about that. It is a very timeless and thoughtful gift. You want your name on that tag as they open it. That's from Mamaw and Papaw. How about that? Campusbookmart.net. I want to apologize, too, if the show's been a little choppy. I've done my best to get around it, and now I've found the workaround. I needed to update my recording software. So that won't be an issue going forward. Shouldn't be. But it was kind of lagging on my side. So if it transferred over to your side, I apologize. But we should be smooth to go the rest of the way. I just updated on my computer stuff. Everything seemed to be fine. But apparently the mix pad itself was having some issues with the new update. So we've gotten that fixed. Okay. Let's go back and talk a little bit about the men's basketball debacle. And listen, for those of you that were like overly concerned after Iowa State, maybe you were right, and maybe I was wrong. Guys, we are 2-3 before Thanksgiving. Brutal, man. We'll get back to play tomorrow, Monday, against UNO. And, man, we need a palate cleanser in the worst way. I mean, we scheduled a Power 4 opponent for Friday to be kind of part of a doubleheader, kind of keep you guys in town a little bit. But, man, this is brutal. You lose to Kansas State, we talked about that on the Friday show, and then you think you're going to have a bounce-back game against New Mexico, and you lose that one too? That just can't happen. It's a Mountain West team, and they put up 40 each half, and they get us late. And you may have, maybe you've kept up with how things went late in that game. And some of y'all may have just turned it off. I was thinking, oh, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. We're not fine. We're not. And as I go back here and just kind of look at these last couple of minutes here, you know, we needed to get stops. We needed to get scoring trips. They hit a three with 2:06 to go up 76-75. Hub comes down, gets you a jumper, pushes State back up one. Then with 30 seconds to go, they get a layup and good. to make it 78-77. We go down. Josh attempts a three-point basket with 13 seconds to go. We can't get it. And that's pretty much your ball game. We end up having a foul. They make both free throws. But we should have never been in that situation. Again, I still have a lot of confidence in Chris Jans. I don't know how much confidence I have in his roster. Okay, and I think that's where Chris Jans has got to figure out who he can trust. But it's just, it's not been good. And again, I'm not going to take a shot. I know a lot of people early on were talking about this is the most talented roster Chris Jans has had. That may be true. I don't know how you'd know that. That may be true. But I think, you know, what you have to do now is find out what these guys on this team do well and then put yourself in a situation to go win some games. It sounds really easy, but I don't think it's going to be. But we're going to have to figure some things out. And as we discussed, we'll be back in action Monday against the UNO Privateers. I don't know what you guys know about them. But listen, I get it. There are a lot of people right now that are like really, really disgusted with where we are on the men's basketball side. And listen, I don't blame you. We had expectations. This isn't a rebuilding year. We've been to the tournament three straight times. And we feel like, hey, we should be in a great situation here to go win games and not have to worry about non-conference. And I had somebody tell me, well, Steve, we're probably going to be like 6-7 at the end of non-conference. If that's the case, welcome to the NIT. And that would be a huge disappointment. And the thing that I go back to, you know, it gets more and more expensive every year. It does. And, you know, there's a lot of times we got to kind of pick and choose what we want to spend money on. We're not the richest school, maybe you've noticed. We're not. We got to make very good decisions with what we want to do financially. And we have spent a ton of money on this roster. And we are not getting the return on that investment. And it's Chris Jans' job to make sure that happens. But it's not just him. You know, he's not out there turning the basketball over. He's not the guy that's not moving his feet, not getting a stop on defense. But everybody holds a measure of the blame here. But the Privateers from UNO are 2-3 this year. And again, I don't know if you've kept up, but they played TCU, LSU, Tulane, Pepperdine, and Fresno State. And it's kind of like the perpetual road trip here. But, yeah, they're going to be here. And I'm not going to do an in-depth preview because we're going to be right back here on Tuesday and we can Monday. And we'll recap the game. That's what we'll do. But simple as this, we got to go win. We got to go win the game. And who would have ever thought we'd be looking at this UNO Privateers thing thinking, man, we got to find a way to get even, got to get 500. That was never, ever, ever in our minds at the beginning of this year. But, yeah, you start to see some fans starting to have a little bit doubt in men's basketball. Again, I've got a lot of faith in Chris Jans, and you know what Hub can do. He can take over a game, and Epps has been really good the last couple of ball games. And, again, so he's clearly healthy. Just got a little bit banged up. And I know we've had that situation last year where, you know, Kanye Clary supposedly was injured. The next thing you know, he's not with the team anymore and gets in the portal. Not that situation. And we checked with sources, and they said, hey, it's not a Kanye Clary thing. Okay? It's, of course, in the last year, there was no Kanye Clary thing when there clearly was. But it's good to see Epps out there doing some good things. And I think getting him in the flow will be big for this team. But the reality of it is your record is what it is. We are 2-3. And, again, I still believe we'll be okay. But, man, we've got to learn some lessons quick and find some ways to get some guys in a rotation and that can get stops but also two good buckets for us. Very, 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 very disappointing result in Kansas City, Missouri. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle if you're bringing a large group to town, and you certainly should. You've always dreamed of it. You thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if we just like rented a house and everybody just stayed here together? Well, you can. You can. It's available to you 365 days a year, provided it hadn't been booked. So visit the Stark Vegas Clubhouse Facebook page, and you can peruse all of the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. That's really important this time of year. And conversations around a fire just better, you know, just more meaningful. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. I think everybody knows it. So when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the Facebook page comes up, and you'll find that it's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. How cool is that? You can do your tailgating right then and there. In addition to that, some booking options are going to pop up. Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route if you want to. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. You know that, beautiful Steve Robertson 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. Just by listening to this show, you're getting a discount at the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle, where it's a work group, a family group, a friend group. They've got room for you. Plenty of parking there, too. It's the old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands, just off 182. Be sure and check it out today. Okay, as I mentioned, we met with Jeff Levy today because today is officially Monday in Starkville, though it's technically Sunday on the calendar. For as far as the work week goes, it's Monday. Levy, first question I asked him, you know, what are your thoughts? And Coach Levy says, I think we got a great jump on the opponent. Our guys were good inside the building again Thursday, getting a ton of our game plan in. When our guys got away, they had the install and could circle back to it as they were away for a day and a half. In the building this morning, we had great urgency, great awareness of what's in front of us, and excited about Friday morning at 11, end of quote. Well, I certainly hope that's the case. You know, that's the thing, too. We've had, you know, multiple opportunities to get bowl eligibility. We hoped we would do that in Missouri. Couldn't get it done. And that's the disappointment in it all, right? You didn't want it to go down to the Egg Bowl. It's a good Ole Miss team we're playing. Anybody to suggest otherwise, just being disingenuous. It's a good Ole Miss team. But it's also a team right now that's dealing with some turmoil. So the distractions are all coming out of Oxford. Everything is kind of centered around what's going on at Lane Kiffin, and it's impossible to ignore that. But State just kind of quietly going about its business. Now, we talked a little bit about the importance of the rivalry, and the portal changes this a little bit, right? Because primarily we used to have a roster comprised of all Mississippi players. So you had guys that grew up, and I share with Brennan Thompson today a story that, you know, Sylvester Croom told the team. He's like, hey, after this ball game, your mom is going to go to the grocery store and their mom's going to go to the grocery store. You want your mom to be the happy one, the proud one, wearing her Mississippi State gear. You don't want your mom being too sad to go to the grocery store. That's an oversimplification of the rivalry, but it's true. But not as many Mississippi guys. So the guys like the Isaac Smiths of the world, they got to be huge this week. They got to be huge this week. Explaining some urgency. A lot of these guys played in Egg Bowl last year, so they kind of understand that aspect of it. I mean, you walk on that field. Mason Miller told me, just walking on a field in Oxford, you can just feel the hatred. I'm sure it's the same way for Ole Miss when they walk out there and we boo and there's the cowbells and, you know, they're trying to offset some of that by getting some of their people here. But so they asked Levy about older guys kind of explaining to younger guys the importance and the intensity of this game. And Leb says, yeah, we have a bunch of staff members that played here and played in this game. They know what it's all about. The more you can talk about that part of it, guys that have come before and played between the white lines of this game can communicate to our guys who maybe haven't been here long and don't know the history as much as some of the others. I think it's great for our entire team to understand the urgency, what's at stake, and you see the guys from our state that played in this game. There's great pride in doing what we do on Friday. End of quote. We talked about both teams having some urgency because they've got something to play for. Levy responded to that too. Our guys understand we have a ton to play for, a ton out in front of us. We have the opportunity to hit two huge goals for us as a program in year two. It's exciting for us. Our guys understand what's at stake. It's about us maximizing preparation to give us a chance to go 1-0 on Friday morning in a huge game with a great atmosphere and a lot at stake. End of quote. So the reality of it is you shouldn't need to say a whole lot. You know, maybe you explain to guys what it all means. But, you know, the best leaders are going to kind of police the team themselves. You know, they're going to make sure they understand, that everybody understands what's happening here. And as we mentioned, we've got a lot left to play for. Now, a couple of those goals, obviously, while they're not stated here, you can read between the lines. One of them is to get the Egg Trophy back and then have an opportunity to go to a bowl game. You can knock both of them out in one fatal swoop, right? Win the opener, win an SEC game, get bowl eligible. I mean, all those things are in front of us. So we hadn't won a home game in a long time. And again, you know, among the self-loathing segment of our fan base, you know, there's always some clock, right? There's always something that everybody's counting down to or counting away from. And it's been forever since we won an SEC game. Then we win one. Then it becomes an SEC home game. I'm looking forward to all of those milestones being met so we can kind of be in one accord as a fan base. Because we do have some people that are only happy when it rains. And so I want some sunny days ahead. You know, we'll pump some sunshine if we have to. But we got to win this game. We have to win this game. And I read Neil McCready's column earlier today, and he talked about how important it is for Ole Miss to win this game. And certainly it is. And with this circus you have too, like if you're Lane Kiffin, after what you've put that fan base through, you've got to win this game. Now, I was on a podcast earlier that will air later this week, and an Ole Miss media person was on in front of me. I don't know who the person was. We're talking about, it's not going to impact the team. Guys, that is such a naive way of thinking. Now, Ole Miss may come out loaded for bear, right? I mean, they're a very capable team. But to suggest that this is not going to be a distraction to Ole Miss, I think is a little bit Pollyannish. Now, is it going to be enough of a distraction that we win the game? Do they come out and maybe perhaps they're not at their best? Maybe. I don't know. We've been in a situation before with Florida, except that was going to be a firing. And we lost the football game. We should have won it, but we lost a football game. So we get a second crack at that. Now, of course, you know, Lane Kiffin could come out tomorrow and say, hey, enough of this. I'm just going to stay here. He could. I don't think he will. And I think the fact that Keith Carter made that statement on Friday, that basically they weren't going to have another statement about Lane Kiffin's future at Ole Miss until Saturday after the Egg Bowl. If they had good news to report, they would have reported it. Now, it may be a situation where good news is coming, but I don't know why you make that statement at all. I think it was a mistake because it has demoralized their fan base. I mean, you've already got media members throwing up hot boards for potential replacements for Lane Kiffin, right? And so if you're an Ole Miss fan, it's like, why are they? I mean, he hadn't even gone yet. And there's some other Ole Miss people, they're not even media people, that everybody's got a hot take and doing these reels and things like that. Once you watch one of them, it seems like you get 1,000. And I watched one earlier of one of the most delusional people I've ever seen in my life. Maybe trying to suggest, oh, well, this is 4D chess. Lane Kiffin's just playing with everybody, you know, and it's just driving the price up and it's going to make Florida and LSU have to make rushed hires or whatever. I can tell you Florida is already vetting other candidates. They are. And if you don't think Keith Carter has already got people on the phone reaching out to agents to see what's available, and of course there's a lot of people that think John Sumrall will have his pick between Auburn and Ole Miss. I was told earlier today that it would be his preference to bring his full staff with him. Now, I understand Auburn would like to keep DJ Durkin. I understand Ole Miss would like to keep Pete Golding. There's no guarantees. But that's something you got to consider. If Florida would let John Sumrall, number one, Florida's a better job than both, okay? And some people that listen to the show won't like that, but it's true. Florida is a better job than Ole Miss and Auburn. If Florida will let him bring his full staff and it's the better job, if Florida wants him, I think John Sumrall's smart to take it. If John Sumrall is not married to his DC, then you get the choice between Auburn, Florida, and Ole Miss, maybe. But that's something I think is some interesting nuggets there. You know, and I had somebody tell me today that's kind of been the hang-up with Auburn, that Auburn was trying to get this thing done prior to the Egg Bowl before Ole Miss had a chance to kind of plant their feet, and that's kind of been a sticking point, that he really wants to bring his full staff. Now, of course, you hear a lot of things when these coaching searches are going on, and to be honest with you, I'm proud not to be covering one. But I get curious like everybody else. You guys want information, I get it, I share it on the message board. You know, it's what I do. Why would I not? It's all anybody's talking about right now. And so, interesting too, I had somebody tell me Matt Campbell is rising and emerging as a real candidate at Arkansas, and that Arkansas is closing in on making a hire sooner rather than later. I can't promise you it's going to be Campbell. But, you know, Matt Campbell was the hottest name in coaching a couple years ago and turned down a bunch of jobs to stay at Iowa State. And you got to wonder, if he's not going to leave now, he's probably going to stay, you know, forever, right? I mean, this is the hiring cycle, right? And some have suggested, too, you know, what if Alabama comes open? Does Lane Kiffin, you know, consider Alabama? There's a lot of people at Alabama that don't want Lane Kiffin. It's true. It may not be what you want to hear, but it's true. A lot of people say, well, it makes sense that Alabama would just hire him, you know, but he burned some bridges there the way that he left. Now, that's not to say there's some people that don't want it, but I think they're largely split. And if you've noticed, Auburn has not been involved at all with Lane Kiffin this go around. Now, he was a finalist 3 years ago, and so all he's done since then is win, but yet Auburn doesn't appear to be engaged at all with Lane Kiffin. And so there's a lot of numbers being thrown around there. Maybe they're true. Maybe they're not. And, of course, no matter, like, they could say, okay, we're going to give you $200 million, and then some Ole Miss poster would say, oh, we'll match it. You know, how stupid do you look if he leaves after you've laid the groundwork to say, well, we match the money, but he left us anyway? Maybe he didn't love Oxford as much as you protested, right? That's important to understand, too. And so if you ask me today, Sunday night at 9:09 Central PM, I think he's leaving. And I think most people at Ole Miss know that he's leaving, too. And I would probably trust, of the Ole Miss guys, I would probably trust Neil McCready the most because I don't think Neil's afraid to report bad news. I think there are some other people on the Ole Miss beat that want him to stay so bad they're not going to be very objective. And what happens, too, and this is where you have to be careful, you can get tunnel vision. You start reaching out to people that are basically telling you what you want to hear because it reinforces your narrative, just like some big echo chamber. And so I trust Neil McCready will work sources independent of Oxford to kind of find out, which is what I do too. Because if all I ever do is listen to the people in Starkville, I'd only get half the story. You got to get on the phone. You got to talk to people you know around the industry. You got to talk to people in agent circles. You got to talk to assistant coaches that you have relationships with. All of that is important. And you compare notes, and then you make the circle again. And so Neil McCready, of course, now part of the 247 Sports Network. If you're a subscriber to jeanspage.com, you get to read what they're reporting and what they're saying on their message board as part of your subscription. I don't know if you knew that. So, and I'm glad that we have both legacy brands kind of together on the two market leaders on the same network. I think that's good for both of us. And as we find out things, we share them, you know. I think that's important to understand, too, that it's not just the great content that we provide at Mississippi State, but 247 Sports among the SEC has so many of the market leaders. So you get the benefit of their reporting as well. All right, we're going to wrap this show, but we're going to be back tomorrow night, back Tuesday night, or maybe Tuesday. And then we'll be back Wednesday. So you'll have plenty of Egg Bowl-type coverage to listen to. We'll be more Egg Bowl-centric the rest of the week. We needed to get there, our weekend wrap-up. And we'll talk mainly about the Egg Bowl. We'll do some historical stuff. We'll do some Ole Miss preview stuff. We'll update things as we learn them throughout the week about what Lane Kiffin's doing. I don't expect anything. I think one of the reasons you put that statement out, if you're Keith, is you just want to stop the noise as much as you can and basically say, we're not going to comment anymore until after the Egg Bowl. We're going to put our full support behind the players. But they're on social media. They see it. They want to know what's going on. And there's more than enough people out there that are willing to give them some information or even some misinformation. So, but again, we'll be back tomorrow night. You're going to have at least four shows this week, maybe five. We'll just see how things go. Probably five. And tomorrow we'll go ahead and start taking an advanced look at Ole Miss. And as I said, as we get through the week, we'll have daily updates. And we won't do anything on Thursday, but you'll have plenty to listen to. We'll give you, you know, 4 hours of Boneyard leading up to the game, and then we'll give you a recap at some point after the game, win or lose. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. And you can get signed copies of all of my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, The Dude, and of course, the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. If you're a person that just wants to read an underdog story or a redemption story, or you're in recovery or know somebody that is or should be, maybe a great book for you to get. If you order through the website, you get signed copies, and we may be able to get some personalization for you if you order sooner rather than later. And come float with us at True Rest Floats by Starkville. You can buy a package now where you get two floats at a discounted price. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my wife, Dana. It's also a great gift. Got a lot of people that got the Mother's Day package that had a float or two left, and they're coming back now. It's been really busy the last couple weeks, and we appreciate that. But Dana's an RN, so she can answer any questions you may have on the medical side of things. And there are some things maybe you want to talk to your doctor about. I don't know. But floating is a very stress-free experience. It has changed my life. I'm going to float on Monday. I told you I've been having some elbow pain, and floated and made a conscious effort to kind of position my arm where it stayed submerged in that Epsom salt. I feel remarkably better. I'm going to go back tomorrow and see if we can't knock out the last. I'm probably 85% right now, maybe 80. And there were some days that I couldn't even grip to shake somebody's hand. It was just painful to do that. I just kind of gutted my way through it, but I feel so much better now. If you're a person that's got aches and pains or perhaps chronic anxiety, or you just need a break, True Rest Float Spa is for you. 662-268-7601. We may be able to help you. We've helped many others. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. So much fun this time of year. And it's so great that there's chaos in college football, and we are not part of the chaos. That's always great. And we got a Black Friday special coming up as well. I'll share that information with you when I can, and we look forward to being with you, for the foreseeable future. So come join us over at jeanspage.com. You'll be glad you did. And even if you can't afford to be a member, or perhaps maybe you're not quite ready to make the plunge, we make all of the game day and big room stuff free. So like all the press conference footage from today, the videos are free, and the transcripts and articles are free. So everything that we learned today, you don't have to be behind the paywall to read it. So you just go over to jeanspage.com, and all the videos are there and all the articles. It'll have a VIP tag if you need to be a member, but the majority of those are not. So we want to be your one-stop shop for sports on the Mississippi State side there at jeanspage.com. You can't go wrong. You just simply can't go wrong. And again, we've had 10 stories on Saturday and 10 stories on Sunday, and we didn't even play a game this weekend. We work hard for you to be your eyes and ears as it relates to Mississippi State. And we're not going to we're not going to take what happened today, today's news, and stretch it out the rest of the week. We're just not going to do that. Because by the time we write that story on Thursday, you've already read those same quotes like in the Clarion Ledger or somewhere else. So we get today's news up today. And we'll have full coverage of Monday night's basketball game, bring you post-game coverage, all that good stuff, for free. Yeah, for free. So come check us out, and we'd love for you to be a member. But even if you're not, we'd love for you to come frequent our site and for all your Mississippi State sporting news and needs. I'm going to get out of here, and look forward to talking to you again tomorrow. And maybe we'll get an earlier start. We'll just kind of see how the day goes. But I wish you guys the best this week and on into Friday, obviously. It is a week for all of us to be thankful and grateful for who and what we have. And that's going to be a big focus of ours this week. As I mentioned, you guys, I have not been home to Columbia, Mississippi for Thanksgiving in over a decade. And a lot of that's because we typically play the Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night. And so it's difficult to get there and to get back in time to cover the game. And so I've typically just gone down and spent it with my sisters, who I love dearly. But I will miss them this year. But I don't know how much longer my parents are going to live. My stepdad and mom are getting up in age, and they don't get around as well. And so me and Dana and our youngest, Ian, will make the trip down there. Mia's going to stay in Harvard for Thanksgiving. And everybody else will be scattered. I know my all my kids have had like a Friendsgiving already. Ian told me he made an apple pie. It makes me proud. But I hope that you can enjoy your family this week. And if you're estranged from your family for one reason or another, forgive, forgive, forgive. Life is short. Death is certain. You shouldn't have beef with people that love you or should love you. And there's just so few things in life that should provide distance between you and the people you love. And so I, again, encourage you, forgive, forgive, forgive. All right, that's it for today. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.